Dark Wraith Publishing presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, Section 1 for Autumn Semester 2015. Lecture 15, delivered on October 13, 2015. The title of this lecture is Review for Exam 1.
Today, review for Exam 1. We'll start off with a couple of technical points about the exam. Some guidance. You will not bring a calculator. You do not have a cell phone, mobile phone, computer out. There is no math on this exam as far as calculations go. You are permitted a 4x6 information card. Yes, you can use both sides. Don't use the edges of it. We're going to go through about 20 possible questions, problems today. And you're going to start it off by giving me possibilities, and I'll tell you whether those are right or wrong, or I might tighten them up or widen them out a little bit, but that'll be how you start it, so that we don't have this just be a television session where you get all the answers. As far as the technicals of the exam go, you will have 6 questions from that group of 20 or so that we'll talk about today, and you will answer 5 of them. Don't answer 6 and say, well, you pick the best of them, Prof. No, you do 5. I'll just do grade the first 5 I come to. They will be 1 or 2 sentence, and you will be graded on your grammar, punctuation, and spelling, as well as on your content and the clarity and conciseness of what you are and how you are answering. In other words, say what you have to say. Get it out and finish it up. Don't ever start a sentence with I think or I feel or I believe that this is the answer. No, just say what you have to say to me. And we'll all come out of this in good shape. I can almost assure you that when you get your first exam back, you'll be pissed off at me about a few things. I'll be nitpicking in. Well, that's the right answer. I just didn't say it the way you wanted it. Well, I'm the grader, so I get to do that. I will be grading on your ability to just convey to me knowledge. Now, some of the questions are almost like gimmies, just like a definition. Just here's the answer. A few of them will be a deeper. You'll have to think about how do I frame this, or what is the answer here. About half of them will be kind of like pretty easy, and then half of them will be more of a challenge to think about. Shouldn't take you more than, if you know your stuff really well, 30 minutes. If you don't know your stuff well, an hour to do this exam. That's about average for this part of an exam. And, of course, it'll be 100%, 20% for each question. 5 of the points for each question will be grammar, spelling, and punctuation, and then 15 points of it will be content, clarity, preciseness, and conciseness of it. I'll put up a grading rubric tonight. It's a very simple one I use when I was an English teacher to give you some guidance on that. But also be sure that when you're writing, you spell things correctly. What amazes me is people who misspell a word that's in the question. That just amazes me. Don't abbreviate. Don't use little texting plus signs for and. Or don't ever lol in an answer. Don't ever lol my ass in an answer. Just be frosty. Just answer the questions. I'm trying to teach you how to be professional so that when you get out there, you are a cut above the average employee in how you come forward with your answers, come through as knowledgeable. With that in mind, just keeping that as your background as you study. Oh, yeah. I've had it always happens about this time. I have maybe about two dozen or so people. Where's that website you were talking about where your podcasts are? Well, that was in the syllabus, and I showed you the first day. So you might want to check the syllabus to see that there is a place where you can listen to the podcasts of every lecture. It's isu-prof.com. And also on Apple iTunes, you can find my lectures under the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium. So listen to those. They will inform you. You will be surprised at how much content there is. And again, this is the lectures. It might have been in the book too, but it is the lectures and the outside readings that are the focus of this exam. So make sure that you have really good notes when you walk into it. Without further ado, we start with your turn. You ask, tell me what you think a good question would be, and I'll tell you, yeah, that's a question, or I might tighten it up, or I might say, no, I'm not going to ask that, and I'll be straight up. That'll help you focus your studying if you can give me some of that. You got any questions that you think that I might, or problems you think I might ask on this? Go.
How do interest rates react when the Fed contracts versus
the tighten that one up. It will be an open market operations question. No, it would be. Now, understand that only 6 of the 20 are going to be there. So that would be in the 20 that are on the list. I would ask you to tell me how an open market operation caused a drain on the money supply or an expansion of the money supply, effect on interest rates, all of that. That would be one of the more challenging, that would be on that challenging list of questions that you'll have. Now, if you're smart, if you think there's going to be 6, I choose 5. 3 are going to be hard. 3 are going to be easy. You probably would figure that you'll try to aim for the easiest first on this exam, but that one would be more of a challenge. Go.
Difference between bill, note, and bond?
I could very well ask that. I will ask it. It would be a technical, very straight-up kind of question if I ask that one. No doubt about it. That's 2 so far. Go. It was about the how the Fed would use open market operations for money supply to expand or contract the money supply, effect on interest rates from that. In other words, if the Fed is expanding the money supply, the way it does that is to buy treasury bills from banks, thereby infusing banks with money, and by the demand for treasury bills going up, that causes the price to go up, which causes the yield interest rate to go down. Go.
Can you talk louder?
Okay, I will talk louder. Damn, boy. Long ago, I was in 600-person auditoriums teaching. So, there you go. Let's keep going. Now, you got one? Go.
Beta.
Let's give me a question.
And what is beta?
What is beta? That would be it would be a little bit more formal than that, but yeah, I will. In the list of 20 is a question, just explain beta. Explain beta. Now, I haven't even given you the technical definition of beta. Also, remember that when I ask you for a definition, a formula isn't an answer. You might want to give me the formula in your answer so that you can use it as a platform for explaining. But a formula for if I said, what does the current ratio measure? Something like that. No, I don't ask that question. Giving me the formula for the current ratio is not an answer to me. Okay? Again, this is where I am reaching out more than math. Yeah, math is greatly important to us, but it's not the end of everything. And we leave, if all you can do is numbers, then, well, yeah, you'll major in accounting. Oh, I should, no. Anyway, other questions. Go ahead. Yeah.
Like the difference between
like F0 and F1. There could be, there will be a question that handles that. Let me focus on that. Let's focus it down. I showed you a graphic with the monetary aggregates. Their rates of change from 2000 to 2008. Do you remember that when I showed that? I put that up in the scrolling marquee on my website, so that you can look at it again, because I will ask a question about the monetary aggregates. What was happening? Explain to me what was happening. That would be where I would reach into that whole area. And I, again, that graphic, go to my site, isu-prof.com. And in the scrolling marquee, there's a link to that graphic. You remember the one I showed you? And I had to make part of it in red because the Fed stopped publishing M3 and lied about why it was stopping, why it stopped publishing it. And you could see something very troubling going on. And everyone looks around, well, we can all say it was bubbles or it was this or that. Look right at the graph and you can see damn well what happened. Okay, I could very well ask that one. That one's on the list. What else? Go.
Do you need another
euro dollars? No, I don't. I wanted to bring that up, but that'll probably be more likely the final because I'll go back through that again. But that's good because you're focusing me and no is as good as a yes. Go. You're not old enough to be forgetting like that. I mean, I am so forgetful. The only way I remember, my cat is hanging a pork chop around my neck so they come up to me and be friendly.
I think I just got it. What do you mean by residual claim?
Okay, focus down on it a little bit. I will ask you to talk about the residual claim on cash flows of a corporation. Know what I mean by it. Know what a corporation can do for those who have that claim. Now remember, a claim belongs to somebody or to some group. What can be done with this claim owned by this group? What can be done with that claim? Know that. Other questions? There's got to be more in your mind. There's got to be more content. I actually came up with a list of 60 and I cut it down to 20. So there is a lot of turf here to cover. Yeah.
Will the different types of annuities be on there?
Oh, no, they will not. I'm glad you asked that. No, I will not probe the annuities issue on the exam. That would be something I would be more likely to do on the second exam because I'm going to go a little more detail on it, but not for this one. Yeah. I would love to have done that, but there was just that was one of those 60 that I took out. I mean, it's such a technical thing. I just laid off it for now. But if you think about, I give you a little helpful lead here. There was or were a couple of things about what you look at on those trading screens that would be something that I would ask about. If you can reach out and try to think about what you saw on those trading screens. Go. Bingo. Absolutely. I am going to ask, and this is one of those where there's a formula. There's a little silly little formula for finding market cap. That's not what I'm going to ask you. Look deeper. Think about what I talked about, what I told you about that, what it means. Yes. That was a really broad question, and I backed off it for that one on the open market operations. Good dynamic. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm selling at discount premium and par.
Be tighter. You're going to have to get tight with me, okay? What are they? You're going to have to know a little more. That one's going to be a more challenging question. I'm going to ask you what affects price. I'm going to hit you three different ways. Remember that I talked about the relationship between the price of a debt security and the term. In other words, how long it still has left. I also talked about yield spread, the spread between coupon and yield. How does that affect price? I also talked about a couple of other matters with respect to that, but those are the two really important, that you understand bond price dynamics. The price dynamics are I focused on those, and I showed you some behavioral things about the behavior of the bond price with respect to term, with respect to the spread between the coupon and the yield, and what those mean, how those things affect the security. Other questions? Go.
Components of the risk premium.
Oh, my goodness. Thank me, Jesus. He got one. The components of the risk premium. As a matter of fact, I might add that one would be part easy, part more difficult. If I say, what are the components of the risk premium? I would also go on to say, give me an example of an instrument of a debt security that would have one of the components but not the others? Would there be some kind of a debt instrument that would have one of the components of the risk premium but not the others? I showed you a classic example of it. Other questions? You got anything else? You've done pretty good so far. Go. Well, what about them? No, I will not ask for a definition of it. Only possibly in the context of what are bills, notes, and bonds in general. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Someone give him a cookie. Me, I prefer those white chocolate chip with the macadamia nut. Those are just to die for. I mean, seriously. But you can't find them hardly anywhere. Liquidity. I will ask you about it. And I, huh? Oh, very good. Knock it off. Okay. No, look. This goes into a realm of a couple of questions where I talk about numbers. I don't care you showing me a formula so much as I want you to tell me upside and downside of liquidity. I could ask you, what is the upside of liquidity? What is the downside of liquidity in a corporation? There is an upside, obviously, but there's also a downside. In that same regard, I will telegraph one of my punches to you. It's one of the 20, not necessarily one you'll see. But I will most decidedly have in my question base. I'm going to say, here's a ratio. Now, everyone will tell you it's great when this ratio, the higher the better. What's the downside? Is there a dark side to this ratio, quote unquote, improving continuously over time? Is there a dark side? Well, there might very well be. I talked about it. I went into an example of an industry that went hog wild with that ratio going up and up and up until disaster hit. Give me a second here. I want to look. There's another one, too, that I want to look at. Oh, also, I'm going to ask you about a ratio that might be definitely a really good indicator. At some point, it becomes a very good indicator of that something has happened. It becomes almost a perfect indicator that something serious has happened. Know what I'm talking about. There's one ratio that's like a blinking strobe light of an issue with a corporation. Check your notes. You'll see it, I hope. Anyway, anything else on your end that you got for me? Yeah. No, I actually, that was one of the 60, and I culled it out. I will not ask you for a structure of a firm, business. That would be on the final. I will swing around and ask you something about structure of a firm on the final. Go. Yes, as a matter of fact, I'll even tell you more about it. See, if you ask me a question, I'll give you a lot of information. I'm going to give you the numbers of a yield curve. I'm not going to show you a graph of a yield curve, but I'm going to give you the numbers. 3 month, 6 month, 1 year, 2 year, 5 year, 7 year, 10 year, 20 year, 30 year. I'm going to give you the actual yields on a treasury debt yield curve. Now, you can graph them if you want. It might not hurt to. It'd take you maybe a couple of minutes to do it. I'd recommend you graph it carefully. And then I'm going to, but what I'm really looking for is for you to tell me what you see. It's one of those things where I'm getting you to a much higher cognitive demonstration level. What is this telling you? Again, the numbers really don't mean anything if you can't interpret them. And that's what I want you to do. In one or two sentences, tell me what you see. I could do it all kinds of different ways. I showed you different kinds of yield curves and what they mean. And you're going to have to pull it out and think about what this yield curve you're seeing looks like. If you catch it, if you see it, I mean, I don't know if graphing is the only way you can do it, but if you graph it carefully, you would see that it's quite dramatic. Oh, well, not dramatic, but it's pretty evident what you're seeing. But, yes, I will do that. Absolutely. Go.
Would an example of that be something like...
Well, I could do a lot of different things. I could show you a yield curve that's like this, a high arch, one that drops, one that inverts, one that essentially is almost flat. And I say, tell me what you're seeing. There will be a right answer and there will be wrong answers, okay? There will be a right answer and there will be, and anything else would be a wrong answer. Other questions? Anything else on your end? Go. No, that technical stuff, I'm going to save that for the final. That technical, I do want you to know it, and it's actually kind of fun. That's one of the most interesting things we do in that kind of investment finance. But I will ask you for some of that. That's more the judgment thinking that I want you to have by the end of this course. So even if you're not majoring in finance, you are a lot more clued in than most people on this earth are. Anything else you got? Let me give you a few here, okay? I want to make sure you got me through 12, I think, so let's get the rest of them out here. As far as other things that are concerned, and most definitely, you need to know what money is. You need to understand money definitionally and be able to break it down. And when I say break it down, I'm not talking about M1, M2. I'm talking about something else, something that's actually kind of deeper about money. Well, you know, I've got the exam right here. I could just put it up on the overhead for you. Yeah. No. I thought about saving paper, just putting the exam up on the overhead, but I thought that's being awfully trifling. You want something that's... Okay. I want you to understand why I spent so much time on interest rates. Remember, I was harping and farting about them for like 3 lectures, and I keep going back to them. You can answer in one sentence. 8 or fewer, I think about 8 words would cover the answer. Why I talked about it. Why I spent so much time discussing interest rates and explaining interest rates. What was it? Do I have a fetish for interest rates? You know, 50 shades of discount rate? See, that's just nasty in a way. Cost. I made a bright line distinction between accounting and finance. A bright line distinction that apparently out there in corporate America, there's a whole lot of cluelessness about. You hear that, corporate America? Accounting does cost in a way that fundamentally is useless to finance. I want you to tell me about cost in finance. What matters to us? And why that is a financial statement done according to generally accepted accounting principles consistently applied is not going to tell us what we need to know to actually do real life, real world investment, project decision making, capital budgeting, and all of that. We in finance have to worry about something much more fundamental. Okay? Make sure you know about that. I could ask you, I've talked about 2 large categories of 2 very broad ways that a company can do capital financing. And that was debt and equity. I might. One of the questions reaches in and asks you for more detail. What is the difference between a debenture? It could be something like, what's the difference between a mortgage bond and a debenture? Or it could be, what's the difference between preferred stock and common stock? Now, I'm not looking for you to give me a really deep, you should be able to answer it in one or two sentences very easily. I don't want some deep probing analysis that would be a grad level thesis. I talked about markets. I talked about money markets and capital markets, but I also talked about primary and secondary markets. I'm going to ask you to explain one of those differences. Distinguish between the money market and the capital market. Distinguish between a primary and a secondary market. Something like that. That should be very clean. One sentence. Now, remember one of those fundamental principles of finance. There was one about the relationship between yield and price. You remember that one? I think that was like the second day I showed you how a treasury bill's price going down makes its yield go up, just mathematically. But I also did another principle of finance, a fundamental principle of finance. The question is, do you remember what that fundamental principle of finance was? I told you you should get it tattooed. Did you get it tattooed? Seriously? I mean, do you remember what it was?
No, not
mine. Madam? Yeah. Oh, that one was one in the book that I talked about. That's a very good one. Yeah, but remember, I qualified. That's actually not, that's a law, but it's one of those laws that almost doesn't exist. The law of one price is hugely important. Don't get me wrong about that. But that assumes completely competitive markets, and the law of one price doesn't apply in a lot of markets. However, that would be a definite one for a final exam. But the one I gave you, one that was even more fundamental than that. Yeah. What are?
The yield and price.
Well, that was one I just talked about. There was another one. The most fundamental one of all. Yeah?
The inverse relationship between interest and yield?
No, that's the same thing.
Something to do with future cost?
Huh?
Something to do with future cost?
No. I'm going to go back to you since you decided not to get that tattoo done on you. Woman? I shall give you $1 to jump off the top of this building. You go game for it. Look, this one's actually crisp. It's got a little fold on that. But this one's really crisp. $1, please. You won't. Why not? What if I offered you $200,000 to do it? $1 million? You're sure? You'll bounce. You're bony, but you'll bounce. What am I showing? Somewhere along the way, you look like, hell yeah, I'll take $100,000 for it. You know, we got squirrels. You aim and you'll land on a squirrel. You know, squirrel, But anyway, can you imagine that? Your last sight, you're looking up, you're a squirrel, big ass coming at me. Anyway, you know, see my principle. You remember I showed you this? No. That's another question. Everything has a price. Well, talk to me later, Sparky. Anyway.
Just like how much someone's worth over like a lifetime.
Risk and return, for God's sake. The relationship between them. And also, I could try to bluff you. It's not return that matters. We say risk and return, but it's not, even I'll say it sometimes, I'll slip up and say return, but it's not return. It's what? Say it. What was that, like a demon coming out? Do you know what's going to happen tomorrow? None of you do? But what do you have? There was an old term from our time when a woman was with child, we would say that she was. Bingo! So what? Is it a return that matters or?
Expected return.
Not expecting return, no. Yeah, expected return. Remember, we don't know the future, but that's where we live. And that's where we have to make our decisions are not for the past. We cannot do anything about that, which is unfortunate in my case because, boy, I could clean up a lot of messes. But the thing, though, is that we can't. All we have is the future. We don't know the future, but we have to formulate precise expectations of the future. Okay. I try to think. Madam, a long time ago, I loved to look at Life magazine, and they'd have some pretty dramatic photos of the war that was going on, photographs of great tragedies, great triumphs. And there was this one of where a jetliner had plowed in, crashed, and burst into flames in a neighborhood. Now, there was the photographer took this shot, and being a photographer myself, I was very impressed. Right there, right in front of the photographer, back there was all this debris. Obviously, a firestorm had happened. And right in front of the camera was a baked dog. I mean, the dog had just been baked. And he was still like this, and his eyes were like... Okay, now, that was bad back there. The dog was running away from it because flight 738 had crashed. What was the dog doing that matters in finance? You're like, I mean, the hell are you talking? Any idea? Yeah. And what do we call that? What did I say was that the designation on that airplane? It was... No, what did I say the designation was? You don't remember? Okay. Yeah. What am I doing? You're acting like a... Fuck. It was... What was the number? 738? Woman! Okay, let's try another one. We'll go back to that. Okay, I'm trying to get something out of you here. Okay, now. I run Al's Burger Mansion. Okay? Al's Burger Mansion is known for its how flavorful its burgers are. But, I mean, people are lined up outside of Al's Burgers every day. I'm Al. Don't you ever call me Al, so God. Oh, my God. Okay, I'm Al. And one day, though, everyone is out there lining up to eat Al's Burgers, and a news flash breaks. The Burger Institute has just done a test and found out that Al's Burgers are 86.3% butt. I mean, what's going to happen? Everyone's, oh, my God. Now, obviously, you'll stay because you like butt. But at the same time, everyone else is running away to Culver's and to Steak and Shake. What are they doing? Reporter is out there. We're outside of Al's Burgers where CEO Al is hiding from answering questions about the butt content of his burgers. Everyone is leaving, going to Culver's. Everyone's leaving, going to Steak and Shake. What are they doing? You don't want one. You jump in your helicopter and you go over to Culver's and grab some cheddar burgers, the double cheddar burgers. They are to die for. Okay? What are you doing? First of all, you get in the helicopter. What do you do in a helicopter? You fly. Yeah, okay. Fly. Okay. Are my burgers good quality or low quality? Low quality. So what are you doing? You are taking a Mother of God. You're taking a flight. What are you taking a flight to? What? Take out the hire. You're taking a flight to quality. Hence, flight 738. Getting away from a bad situation to try to go to a quality situation where you don't get baked like a dog. God, that was... Wow, I was trying there. It didn't work, though. But I promise you... No, I want you to know that term. Yeah, and unfortunately, I was trying to get you to say it, and I couldn't get... First, I talk about a baked dog, then I talk about Asperger, and you still can't get it. Now, I want to go make a point here about... Looking for answers, I have gone through now, I'm checking back here, I'm looking through here to make sure that I have gone through the 20, actually, by my count, I did 21. Where did I double over one? Oh. Something that might be worth you knowing is always in finance, as is the way in life itself, there is an upside and a downside to whatever decision you make. There's obviously that opportunity cost. In terms of what we do in finance, as far as capital budgeting is concerned, we have to pay for projects. Now, the best thing in the world is to earn money to pay for projects. But a lot of times, if you're a corporation, your projects are going to cost more than current cash flow. So you have to do capital financing. Now, there are two large ways that you can raise money out externally. One way is, of course, by selling stock. The other is by borrowing money, selling bonds. Now, there are upsides to both of those, but there are downsides to both of those. Make sure you understand upside and downside. I want to point out something. When you're going for answers, looking for your information, go to your notes, go to the podcast, talk to each other. Unfortunately, sometimes, inevitably, you'll probably end up talking to someone who doesn't know as much as you do, and then you'll be in trouble. The one thing that I always warn students when they begin to learn, prepare for a test. Don't go on the internet for answers. Because if you go to a place like Wikistupedia, probably about 80% of the information on Wikipedia is incorrect at one level or another. It's shocking. If you knew the kinds of creeps who just spend their whole lives doing those things for free for the riches of the owner of that thing, you would understand the importance. Remember, on the internet, you could be getting answers from a cat. That's just the way it is. In fact, this is the cat. That's Phineas. He's my cat. He loves to answer your finance questions, and he answers them wrong. That's why he smiles. He thinks it's funny. Okay? So when you go on the internet and you're going to Infopedia or Wikipedia or some other site for answers, remember, that's who's answering your questions. Phineas. Remember that face. Hi, Phineas.
Did you take that picture?
Yes. Of course I did. And no, that's not Photoshop. That cat actually smiles when he answers questions wrong. So you keep that in mind when you're on the internet. Don't look for your answers. Go to your notes. Go to the sites. Go to my podcasting site. Go to the book. Now remember, there were a few points. Do you remember one point where I said the book is not correct about this? Good, because there are none of those disputes. I did bring it up once or twice that there was something the book was saying that wasn't exactly right, but I don't get into those kinds of controversies on exams like this. So don't sweat it. If you want to look in the book, see if you can find an answer there. Good, but remember, if it's in the book but I didn't talk about it in lecture, you are not going to be asked about it on these exams. That's what those online exams are for. I can test your technical knowledge. But if I want you to be stronger than the average bear out there in the world, I got to test your deep knowledge. That's what this is about. You got any more questions for me? Yeah.
Were you going to put these questions on your
rubrics and put
it out there?
No. Oh, good one. No. Nice. Yeah. What is the relationship between risk and return? The greater the risk of a project, the greater the expected return must be. That's a perfect answer. Why is that perfect? Because I just told you it was. Short, to the point. Remember, I don't know if you've gotten there yet, but in email every day in the work world, you are getting inundated. If I ask you for an answer, you're my subordinate, and you come back to me with a short, here's the answer, I'm going to have a whole lot more use for you than I do for all of the people and all the spam that pours in with tons of words and all that. Remember that. Some of the answers you can't do that short, but that one? Oh, wow. What else do you have for me? Study hard. That's all I have for you today. I thank you.